Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning. It is 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Ted Woodward. Steve McIntosh has the day off. It is Monday, January 18th. This is a federal holiday, the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr. We'll be taking a look at vaccinations for COVID in Sedgwick County.
Wichita police officers and staff are heading to D.C. for the inauguration. I'm Dave Wilson.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Ann Holiday. A cold front is going to be sliding across south-central Kansas this afternoon. Still, though, our temperatures will run about 10 or more degrees above normal. Our complete forecast is coming up.
Sedgwick County Health Department says it successfully completed phase one of distribution for COVID-19 vaccine and is now getting ready for phase two. KSN News spoke with County Health Officer Dr. Gerald Menz, who says people 65 and older are next in line in the county.
It may take a month or a month and a half or 2 months. Even if we got all the vaccine today, it would probably take that long just physically to get everybody through the line and get them vaccinated.
Roughly 70,000 people in the county make up that age group. The health department says federal distribution of the vaccine is slow and that the county is still working out details on how to go forward from here. Health officials say they are still looking at a scheduling system. Meanwhile, Dr. Anthony Fauci offers his thoughts on vaccine distribution.
Dr. Anthony Fauci says he understands there is some hesitancy among many Americans considering the quickened vaccine approval process. But on NBC's Meet the Press, he said getting the shot could be a benefit against the virus evolution.
If we can get, you know, the overwhelming majority of the population vaccinated, we'd be in very good shape and could beat even the mutant.
Fauci says President-elect Biden's plan to deliver 100 million vaccinations in his first 100 days is a plan that Fauci calls very doable. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
50 officers and staff from the Wichita Police Department going to the nation's capital for the inauguration events this week.
Wichita Police Chief Gordon Ramsey says the officers and staff will offer support services and will not be going into the inauguration event itself in a working capacity.
Sounds like it'll be a perimeter on a parade route. They will not be doing anything with, if there is any civil disturbances, they will not be a part of that. They have extensive teams from throughout the Northeast that are going to be there to handle anything that gets out of hand, if it does.
Ramsey says he does not think it's appropriate to go himself, so he will remain in Wichita. Ramsey also says Kansas Highway Patrol and Kansas City officers will be going. Dave Wilson, KNSS News.
Defense officials are concerned about a potential insider attack from service members assigned to secure the upcoming inauguration. That concern now has thousands of National Guard troops getting vetted who have been deployed to the nation's capital.
The FBI is doing background screening for all 25,000 National Guard troops assembling in Washington, D.C. The U.S. Army tells Fox News it's working with the Secret Service to identify which service members need extra screening ahead of Wednesday's inauguration. Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy said he's warned commanders to be on the lookout for any potential problems within their ranks and that extremism has no place in the military. He also said so far there's no evidence of any threats. In Washington, Jill Nato, Fox News.
The Kansas Policy Institute's Michael Austin tells KNSS News Governor Laura Kelly's proposed state budget for this year in Kansas looks a lot like last year's budget.
And last year, you know, a vast majority of her, you know, proposals were wildly rejected. So with a more conservative legislature this year, I don't understand, you know, why she's proposing the same thing again. It's like Groundhog Day, but of course not in a good way.
Michael Austin was a guest on the John Whitmer Show last night right here on KNSS. President-elect Biden is unlikely to have key members of his Senate confirmed by the time that he takes office on Wednesday.
Job interviews begin this week for President-elect Biden's cabinet nominees. The Foreign Relations Committee will hear testimony from Secretary of State nominee Antony Blinken tomorrow, the same day the Treasury Secretary nominee Janet Yellen testifies for the Senate Finance Committee. President-elect Biden's Homeland Security Secretary nominee Alejandro Mayorkas has a video hearing tomorrow. And Defense Secretary nominee retired General Lloyd Austin will also meet with the Armed Services Committee this week. His confirmation, however, must also win House approval to waive a federal law requiring officers be retired from the military at least 7 years before leading the Pentagon. On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Today is a federal holiday as we observe Martin Luther King Jr. Day. More details on that. And a key figure is missing in England. We'll discuss that as well. Plus, your full weather forecast is on the way. KNSS News Time is 8:05. With Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS on this Monday morning. Today does mark the observance of the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr. It's a federal holiday. Many spend that day in service in their communities.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day is observed each year on the third Monday in January, and it's also a national day of service as designated by Congress in 1994. The day celebrates the life and legacy of King, who fought for civil rights and racial equality before he was killed in 1968. This year, due to the pandemic, many service opportunities are virtual, and the Presidential Inaugural Committee is collaborating with AmeriCorps on volunteer opportunities. AmeriCorps, which is a service network supported by the federal government, lists MLK Day service events, and you can sign up for those at nationalservice.gov. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
A royal bird is missing in England, and an old prophecy warns that is probably not good news.
Legend says there must be at least six ravens in the Tower of London, or the United Kingdom will fall. So eyebrows have been raised here after the Tower announced one of its resident birds is missing and has been for several weeks. Merlina is feared dead. The man in charge of the ravens, Raven Master Chris Scaife, has moved to allay concerns. He says he keeps spare birds, leaving the Tower with a flock of seven and Britain still intact. In London, Simon Owen, Fox News.
It is 8:10 with Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
Still want to watch for a traffic hazard being reported out there at Rock Road at Kansas Street. That's near McConnell. Again, a traffic hazard reported there. Rock Road at Kansas Street near McConnell. Things could be slow there. Might want to avoid it for the time being. Traffic on KNSS is brought to you by Joe DeBrava and Carl's Goodyear Tire, located downtown at Market and Waterman, and online at carlstire.com, your home for complete car care.
And our weather forecast here on this Monday morning. Let's get the latest from meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. As a disturbance drifts in from the northwest, we will have some cloud cover from time to time. Otherwise, mostly sunny and breezy by this afternoon with a high 53. Clouding up and cold tonight, our low near 30. Slightly cooler tomorrow, but not as windy. Tuesday's high 46, near 55 by Wednesday. I'm KNSS meteorologist Ann Holliday.
Currently in Wichita, we have a breeze out of the southwest. It is mostly cloudy and 36 degrees here on this Monday morning, January 18th. KNSS weather is brought to you by the Monarch. Monarch, proud to be voted one of the best bourbon bars in America. Located at 579 West Douglas in historic Delano, what a great place to hang out. The Monarch. It is 8:11 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS on this Monday morning. the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr. It is a federal holiday. We had the story last week. We told you about tons and tons of cats that survived a fire in Rochester, New York. How many cats? We're still counting them up, I guess. Nearly 100 cats survived a house fire in Rochester. It was a shelter, a Lollipop Farm shelter. Says at first they said there were 70 cats living in the home when it caught fire, but now they're saying that 97 cats have been rescued as of late last week, and they might still be counting them.
That is a lot of cats.
Many of the cats did suffer smoke inhalation. They're still trying to figure out how many will survive. But apparently they did rescue, at some point, 97 cats that survived that house fire in Rochester, New York. President-elect Joe Biden is not going to waste any time once he takes the oath of office, and he'll start taking immediate action when his administration begins after his inauguration speech on Wednesday. His staff has already laid out plans for his first days in office. He says he's planning a 10-day blitz of executive action, focusing on four crises facing the country, which the Biden team identifies as COVID-19, economic downturn, racial injustice, and climate change. His staff says he takes the oath of office. He's going back to the White House and take immediate actions. They say that, in fact, he's already got plans for Wednesday after the inauguration. He wants the U.S. to rejoin the Paris Climate Change Agreement to reverse President Trump's travel ban, and that does apply to several Muslim-majority countries. Biden also expected to require masks on federal property and interstate travel, and that'll all take action to extend eviction and foreclosure restrictions. So President-elect Biden will take over on Wednesday and apparently is going to hit the ground running with executive action and changes forthcoming. It is 8:14 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS on this Monday morning, January 18th. The parents of a little girl in England, in the UK, busted her. They say she tried to con the tooth fairy. They closely examined the so-called tooth she left under her pillow. Upon further examination, it was a white Tic Tac cut in half, which she marked with a red pen to try to resemble blood. Yeah. Mom and Dad figured that out. She does not get the Tooth Fairy trip this time around.
Oops.
8:14 with Steve and Ted on KNSS, and there is news coming out of Russia and world condemnation because of this concerning a poisoned Russian opposition leader. Let's get more from Fox News Radio's Simon Owen live in London, and the Kremlin is taking some heat for this.
Yes, and it's also saying that it couldn't care less about that heat and is brushing off various demands, including from the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, for this man to be released immediately. Russia says that's just a case of Western countries trying to distract attention from problems in their own backyards. This is Alexei Navalny. He is probably Russia's best-known opposition leader. He's a longtime anti-corruption crusader and a leading critic of President Vladimir Putin. And last summer, he was on an internal flight in Russia when he collapsed, passed out, and ended up in a coma after being poisoned. And his family managed to get him evacuated to Germany, where he was treated. And the German government concluded after tests that he had been poisoned, not just with any old substance, but with a nerve agent, a Soviet-era nerve agent, and was probably pretty lucky that he didn't die. But in fact, he's recovered, and over the past 5 months, he said that he's almost fully recovered, and he believes he will make an almost full recovery. So he decided last week, he said that it was time to go home, and he announced that on Sunday he would be flying back to Moscow. He made that journey yesterday, and he was immediately arrested, and that's what Western governments are now condemning.
Certainly, he must have anticipated that he would be apprehended upon his return. I would assume he knew this was coming and he made that decision consciously.
Yes, he would have known that it was a strong possibility. It wasn't the only necessary outcome, but certainly there was a strong possibility, and the Russian prison service had made it clear in the days leading up to this journey that he was facing immediate arrest. The Russian authorities say that he flouted the terms of a suspended prison sentence. He's supposed to report to a police station every so often, but he didn't in December because he was overseas. And so they are now talking about, well, that's what he's in custody for. We're waiting to hear if he's going to be given a jail sentence for this. He could be given a 3.5-year jail sentence. It wasn't the Kremlin's only option, but there were no good options, really. They could either jail him, which is what they seem to be doing, and then they are risking protests and maybe punishment from Western countries, sanctions or that sort of thing, by kind of turning him into a political martyr. The other option was they did nothing, but then the risk is there that they look weak as far as Kremlin hardliners are concerned, and Russia has parliamentary elections coming up, and Alexei Navalny would be free to campaign and stir up and continue his crusade against the government. Just one detail I'll give you on this to show you how seemingly calculated the whole thing was. Alexei Navalny was due to fly into one particular airport in Moscow. At the last minute, the flight was diverted to another airport in Moscow. The Russian authorities say that was because of technical issues, but presumably it was down to the fact that Alexei Navalny's supporters had gathered at the first airport and were therefore thwarted in their efforts to greet him.
Fox News Radio's Simon Owen. Simon, how are things in London today?
Well, I mean, look, London is the news here remains dominated by the COVID outbreak, and it's a sort of double track thing at the moment. Britain's been hit seemingly very hard by a new variant of the virus. You may have heard about this. Britain said it first detected it a little while ago, and it's since become a serious issue for, certainly here in London. Hospital doctors have been warning for some weeks now that they're on the brink and that they're at capacity and beginning to be really seriously strained. UK's got Europe's highest death toll, and it's just going up and up and up every day. At the same time, British authorities say they're pretty pleased with how the vaccine rollout has gone here, and they're now sort of almost through the first category of over 80s, and they're moving on to over 70s as of today. So they insist that the vaccine rollout is going well, but it's a kind of race at the minute to try and stop the outbreak from overtaking the vaccine rollout.
All right, Simon, stay healthy. Thanks for being with us. That's Fox News Radio's Simon Owen live from London this morning with Steve and Ted on KNSS. 8:19 with Steve and Ted, and now it is time to take a look at what's going on in sports. And, of course, yesterday we had Kansas City Chiefs football action in Arrowhead Stadium in the conference semifinals. The Chiefs and the Cleveland Browns, winner advancing on, and the season was over for the loser. Things were going pretty good for the Chiefs. They had a 19-3 lead in the second half, but then one play kind of changed it all. And Mitch Holthus, of course, had the call right here on the Chiefs Radio Network, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Fisher waiting for the call. They bring Kelsey in motion right to left on third and one. Long count, sprint option. This works at the goal line, and Mahomes trying to get up near the first down. It looks like he's got it, and Mahomes is down and gets up slowly. He's hurting, Danan, and they're helping him off now. They have taken the weight off his foot. There was some thought that he had the top of his foot was an issue. You know, we were speculating toe, ankle, whatever, and then trying to run the ball there. They did not give the Chiefs the first down, I don't think, here. It's 7:27 to go in the third quarter.
Not good when the Super Bowl MVP, quarterback Patrick Mahomes, is hurt, and he came out of the game to undergo concussion protocol, and he did not return. So the Chiefs had to finish things up with their backup quarterback, 35-year-old Chad Henne, who had never played in a playoff game in his long NFL career. And the Chiefs had to hold on. The Browns got some points on the board. The Chiefs late, clinging to a 5-point lead and facing a fourth and inches, did not want to punt the ball away and give it to the Browns again. Chiefs go for it.
And the Chiefs are going to a shotgun set here on fourth down and inches. They can take the clock down now. The play clock is at 15, the game clock at 1:26. They can take this thing all the way down to about a minute and 12 seconds. They snap it. They're going for it. They flood it right. Caught. Tyreek Hill stays in bounds. The same play that they
close the game out against New Orleans. They do it to Cleveland. And Chad Henne out of the bullpen. Incredible job on a 3rd-and-14 scramble for 15. They called 13.5. Comes back on a roll to the right side, deking Cleveland into thinking they were going to run the clock. And they find Tyreek Hill on the right flat. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to advance in the AFC playoffs.
Yeah, those crafty Chiefs. The Browns never got the ball back, and the Chiefs win it 22-17 as the Chiefs get the win and advance on to the next round of the playoffs. Here's Chiefs head coach Andy Reid.
Listen, our crowd was phenomenal tonight. Limited numbers in, but they're tremendous. The defensive stand at the end was huge. Chad Henne's run was huge. And then his couple throws there toward the end were also big. I take full responsibility for the long interception. That's on me. And I'm proud of Chad and the way he handled everything. And, you know, he probably said it best when he said, listen, you know, this team is unbelievable when somebody has to come in and make them feel comfortable. And, you know, that's what team's all about. So again, I'm proud of the way he handled things.
So the Chiefs will host the conference championship game for the third year in a row. It's the first time it's ever happened in the AFC. It'll be the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. And that will kick off at 5:40 p.m. Sunday. You can hear the game right here on KNSS. The Chiefs are a 3-point favorite, and the winner of that game goes to the Super Bowl. The other playoff game yesterday had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going into New Orleans and beating the Saints. Upset. Buccaneers win it 30-20. Quarterback Tom Brady. So it'll be the Buccaneers and the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay for the NFC title on Sunday afternoon, with that winner going to the Super Bowl as well. We do have a huge college men's basketball game tonight in Waco, Texas. Sixth-ranked Kansas visiting undefeated number 2-ranked Baylor. The Jayhawks are a 9-point underdog heading down to Waco. That game will tip off at 8 o'clock tonight. You can listen to that one live on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. And a happy birthday to a former Kansas great, Bud Stallworth, from the Kansas Jayhawks. He's 71 today, Big 8 Conference Player of the Year in 1972, led the nation in scoring, averaging 25 points a game, went on to the NBA. He's in the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. One of the all-time KU greats, Bud Stallworth, is 71 today. And that's sports with Steve and Ted. 8:24 with Steve and Ted in the morning. Traffic and weather on the way. And Democrats should hold themselves to their own standards. That'll be discussed on the Sean Hannity Morning Minute. Steve and Ted, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.